Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Mem Pasuk Beis. B'Marois Elokim, Yechezkel is now about to witness the vision of the Bayis Shlishi. B'Marois Elokim, Eviani El Eretz Yisrael, through the visions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem brought me, notice it says Elokim. Elokim means Midas Hadin, dealing with Yemos HaMashiach. Yemos HaMashiach is a time of perfection. Everything has to be precise. Eviani El Eretz Yisrael, Hashem brought me to Eretz Yisrael, V'Yinicheni Hashem delicately placed me down in peace, El Har Gavoa Ma'od, upon a mountain that's very, very tall. The Allah, and upon it, Kimivne Ir Minegev, and upon it was what appeared to be Kimivne, what appeared to be like a structure of a city, Minegev, towards the south. Okay, let's do this pasuk inside in the Mitzudos, pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis says, in the Mitzudos David, I always seem to have a hard time finding commentators. Here it is. B'maroi salukim ritzen lemar lo hevyani memes ela nidmili b'maroi hanavua kilu hevyani el Eretz Yisrael. This was not a real. Hashem did not put me, take me on a plane and bring me there. It was all a vision. It was a vision as if Hashem brought me to the Eretz Yisrael. V'sham yiniach oisi ala har gvoim oduhu har habayis. Now notice, in time of Mashiach, Yimot Mashiach, the mountain is called Har Gavah Me'od. Okay, never says that anywhere about that Har Habayis, that was Me'od. It just says, you know, it's the high Har Gavah. I don't have all the psukim, but here we have something unique that we define it as being very, very tall, to Har Habayis. The next words of the Mitzudo Sarvi, Olav Samuch El Hohara Hu, Hoya Ki Binyan Ir, V'hi Yerushalayim Haisa Minegev Hahar, was on the southern side of the mountain. And that's very interesting, because today in modern Eretz Yisrael, and I think in the time of the Bayis Sheni, where is the city, the main bulk of the city? It's on the west. It's not on
the new city.
What?
They used to call it the new city.
The new city. But today, and even during the time of the Bayis Sheni, Look at these maps, these diagrams, on the southern, on the. Let me just make sure I got my. On the southern side, that's Ir David. That's really where Ir David is, right? That's where Ir David is. So, but that's not really where the main city was. The main city for the main population for the Hamoin Am was on the west. Is that correct? Everyone familiar with this? Is that correct?
Right, the palace was there also.
What?
The palace was on the west.
On the west. And the Hamoinam, the place where the masses lived in Yerushalayim, was the west. The south was Ir David, but that was not a major section. That was not the main part of the city. So here it's very, I don't know what this means. And so
you
over
say
here.
The west, you mean where the coastal is?
Right. Where is we look at the coastal plaza. Right, the coastal plaza. I keep it going back. Coastal plaza. What?
There was a valley. There was a big valley between where the coastal is. Was a valley across to the houses on the other side.
On the other side. And there was a big bridge. It was a very big bridge that took you from the main part of the city to the Har Habayis. So it appears, from looking at these books, these coffee books that have these images and all these illustrations of what the old Yerushalayim looked like during the time of the Bayis Sheni, it appears that the bulk of the city was west. Okay? South is not, is there something there? That's Ir David, right? Ir David is there, that section, but that was not the main section. That was not the main place where
Ir David had a wall around it?
I assume, I don't know. I don't know the details. I don't know. But it's interesting that here it says that in the time of the Bayis Shlishi, the main city will be south. Okay, the south side. Oh, you go look at a map today of Yerushalayim. They're building. Where exactly is the main construction? The main part. I mean, north is the north part of the Har Habayis is the Arab section. Right, that's all Arab. That's all Arab. That's East Jerusalem. That's all Arab territory. I mean, it's called East. I mean, it's funny. I call that East, but
North is not so much. North is more Christian.
Or maybe it's Christian. Maybe that's what it is. It's Christian. And the East is Har HaZeisim. I mean,
oh, sorry.
The East. What's the East? The East is Har HaZeisim. So on the other side of Har HaZeisim, what's the other? There's nothing on the other side of Har HaZeisim. There's nothing there, right? There's nothing there. What's the other side of Har HaZeisim? There's nothing there. Even what's there today, modern times? What's on the other side of Har HaZeisim? To go do some what? Okay, so just something to take note of. I find it to be interesting over here that this is what it says in the pasuk that Ve'alav Kimivne Ir Minegev, the city was on the southern side. Rashi pasuk Bey says Bimaris Lokim Eviani Lo Holichani Shamamish Ella Heriani Kilo Anisham. Everyone repeats the same idea. Hashem did not take Yecheskel Mamish there. Hashem brought him there in a mar in a vision. Okay, next pasuk Gimel. I'm sorry. Al Har Gavar Meod Shekenu Asa Ligva. So Rashi picks up on the point why here it says the word Meod. It does not say the word Meod anywhere else to teach you a chiddush that in the future it's going to be raised. Okay, so there's some type of supernatural event that's going to happen. Times the Mashiach when the Har Habayis is going to be elevated higher than what it is today. That's very, because you know, it's very strange because we're always looking to dig down, right? We're always trying, all the archaeological digs are all to dig, right? It's because over the centuries they've piled garbage and they've tried to bury it, and the goal of all of the archaeologists is to unbury it, to go lower, 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 lower until you hit rock bottom, until you hit the old streets and the old, you know. And here the pasuk is telling us you can dig all you want, but at the end of days, it's going to be the place where you're going to reside is going to be higher, much higher than it is now. How does all these things are very big. All I got to tell you, every word we read over here in these next 8 parakim are all extremely mysterious, and to decipher what it really means is really beyond us. Shekeinu asit ligvash nemar v'nisa migvos. It says in Yeshayah it will be elevated over the hills. Kibmivne ear, kibinyan ear. There will appear to be kibinyan ear. It's also very curious, the expression, what's kibinyan? Is it a city or not? Are you pregnant or not? Only a little pregnant. What are you? Make up your mind. Kibivne, is there a city on the south or is there no city on the south? Minege bedromish labayis bedromish lahar. The city is going to be on the other side of the mountain. Let's see. Radak pasuk bey says, b'maros el har gavayavod v'zel har abayis. So don't make no mistake. Hashem over here showing Yecheskel the Har Habayis. It's very important to understand the Har Habayis because there are many, many walls. We're going to learn about all different walls. There's the walls of the Har Habayis. There are the walls of Yerushalayim. There are the walls of the Azara, and there are the walls and there's going to be the wall of the Heichel and the Kodesh HaKodashim. So you got to get it straight in the very beginning. Which wall are you referring to? So now we're not discussing the walls of Yerushalayim, we're discussing the walls of the Har Habayis, which is, I mean, that's what the Kosel HaMaravi is. The Kosel HaMaravi is the wall of the Har Habayis. And the wall of the Har Habayis today extends...
The Kosel HaMaravi is a retaining wall that holds up the Har Habayis.
It holds up, but it is still considered to be the wall of the Har Habayis, and it has halachic nafkaminis. The wall that the bayis the section of the Kosel HaMaravi, we have a tradition. It is the same wall, at least the part, not every brick, not the upper portions, but the parts were built on Hurdis during the time when the bayis Sheni stood. It stood towards the last 100 years by Hurdis. Hurdis rebuilt. He did renovations and he expanded the Har Habayis. We know that. He expanded it greatly towards the north. The northern side of the Har Habayis was expanded. And it could be, we all know for sure, it could be that he expanded as well on the eastern side as well. But certainly the part of the Kosel HaMaravi that we have today was built, the lower sections was built by Hordis. They counted, there are a total of 45, always say this over, 45 rows of bricks. If you go all the way down to the very, very bottom on the tunnel tours, okay, the Kosel Plaza is not anywhere near the bottom. That's pretty high up. And if you would go, we know if you go all the way down to the very, very bottom and you count the number of stones, the rows of stones from the very, very bottom all the way to the very, very top, and some of those new stones on top have been added only recently, within 150 years. Montefiore, when did Montefiore live? 1880, so approximately 140 years. So those, that's when the last rows, those new rows of bricks, Haloi Dover, they're exactly 44 45 rows of bricks. That number is so significant, not for now. I knew a lot of things about the number 45, and that's how many rows there are. And now there's a halachic nafkamina because the Har Habayis is called Machane Leviya. And a Machane Leviya, a person who is a Zav is not allowed to be. A Zav may not be present in Machane Leviya. A Balkari, I believe, can be present in Machane Leviya. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, yeah, I don't remember. Maybe. What? What? Tavul Yoyim? Okay, I don't remember. Certainly a Zav is not allowed to be. I think a Balkari is allowed to be on the Har Habayis in Machane Leviya, but a Zav is not allowed to be on the Har Habayis. That is one of the major reasons why Gedolei Yisrael, not one of the major, it's one of the reasons, the contributing reasons, why Gedolei Yisrael object. I'm not getting into any politics over here, so I apologize if I insult anyone, but there are Gedolei Yisrael who object to going on to the Har Habayis for one very simple reason. A Zav is not allowed to be on the Har Habayis. We, Bizman HaZeh, are not Bekiyim in what brings Ziva. Ziva is something very, very similar to Shechva Zerah. It's just a different color. And some will tell you that it's more of a supernatural type of emission which cannot possibly exist Bizman HaZeh. We're not on a Madrega to have Mitzaras. So just like there's no Tzaras Bizman HaZeh, there's no such thing as Ziva Bizman HaZeh. But many disagree. Many places consider it's not so. Ziva is not supernatural. It's not in the category of a tzaras. It's something which can happen to any person, and a person that's two re'iyos, he is called a full-fledged zav, and he needs to have zayin nikiyim, and he needs to go to a mayin, into a spring. So unless a person knows for a fact that he had zayin nikiyim, and he was toivel in a mayon, so you're going on the Har Habayis, you're playing with karas. Because a person who is a zav, in the state of tumah of a zav, should not be on the Har Habayis. And what is the Har Habayis? The Har Habayis is today's Har Habayis. It's not a matter of being walked on the guard. They have a special area where to walk, where not to walk. Because that, where they tell you where to walk and where not to walk, not to get lost, only protecting you from going into Machane Shekhinah. Protecting you that you should not go any place where there's a possibility where the Azara once upon a time stood. So they tell you that as long as you walk along the perimeter of the Har Habayis on the inside, there's no possibility that you're entering into the area of the Azara, where the Azara once stood. Azara is Machane Shekhinah. And Machane Shekhinah, even about Tomei Meis, we're all Bizman HaZeh, that's a given. We're all Tomei Meis. Our Tomei Meis, on pain of Karis, may not enter into Machane Shekhinah. So you got to be very careful. So they tell you, we are careful. It's impossible, from what we know, that you can be walking in Machane Shekhinah if you just walk around the perimeter of the Har Habayis. And if they give you tours, you go on the Kosel Rav, you can watch on YouTube all the tours. You can watch all the tours. They go on Har Habayis. They're walking around the perimeter of the Har Habayis. Yeah?
Why are we afraid of Machane Shekhinah? If I thought if everyone's a Tomei Meis, we'd be able to bring the Karbonos.
Tumo Chodra B'tzibur. So if you're going into Machane Shekhinah to bring a Karbon Pesach, you can do it. You can do it. Or if you're the Kohen, bring the Karbon Tamid and your Tamid Mace, you can do it because Tumo Chodra B'tzibur. But if you're not bringing the Karbon Tamid and you're going on a tour, does not qualify as Tumo Chodra B'tzibur. So many say there's really nothing that can possibly go wrong. We pretty much know, we have a right in Halacha to assume that we know pretty much where the Azara was. We can make a proper calculation. We have different, and according to all the calculations, if you're going to be very careful only to stay close to the wall, to stay within certain areas, so you're safe. That's true. Okay, that's definitely true. And all the Gedolim are masking to that. It's just that there are other issues. And one of the other issues is Tumas Ziva. If you're a Zav is not allowed to be anywhere in Machane Leviya, which was within the walls of the Har Habayis. So that is, many argue and say that Ziva is not Shaykh Bizman HaZeh. Ziva is a supernatural type of emission, which like Tzaras, which does not exist Bizman HaZeh. That's debatable. No one knows the true answer, so therefore it's a very strong argument why not to go on the Har Habayis. And then there are political reasons. You don't want to get the Arabs upset. If you're an American, Israeli, this and that. The best advice I heard, my uncle said to me, my cousin, Meir Yaakov Soloveitchik, so he goes to this shul. He's very big into going to Har Habayis. His father would never go. His father, Rabbi Yehuda Soloveitchik, so he told me he's not going to go. And he said to me, nothing to do with halacha. Halacha is very debatable. He says he just does not. He says he's an American. Like I tell you, he's an American. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, then yeah, maybe Taka, you have a right to go. You have to show the Arabs. You got to show them. It's ours. We don't understand the mentality of the Middle East. In the Middle East, it's not like America. You don't sit back and do nothing. In the Middle East, it's a different type of environment, a different type of psychology. And you gotta lahachas. You gotta lahachas, show the people it's our land. But that's only if you actually live there. Because when you're going there, it's a risk. You're provoking them. If there would be a mass movement, if every single Jew in Eretz Yisrael should insist on going to the Har Habayis, you can't deny the fact that it's provocative. Okay, so you should provoke them. I mean, you know, that's the mentality.
And yeah, they provoked us all.
All right, exactly. Right? But the old, so he told me, this is his opinion. His opinion, and I've heard this from other people as well. I think Kamat, the Novominsk Rebbe says Kamat the same thing, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm wrong. The Novominsk Rebbe, it's very logical, is you're right. There's really a very strong reason you should go. And you have to work out all the halachic issues. And you can debate back and forth. But that's only for the people that are meiser nefesh on a continuously to be in Eretz Yisrael. For an American to come, to call all the Americans to come to Eretz Yisrael and stay in the King David Hotel or the Renaissance Hotel, the Ramada, and live it up, and then go on a tour of the Har Habayis and provoke the Arabs, and then the next day get on a plane and go back to America and say, oh, this is what we provoked the Arabs, and showing it's our Har Habayis, and now there are riots, and now they're throwing missiles. It's your problem, Israel, because we're back home in America, safe and sound, and we're not contributing to the economy, we're not contributing to the settlement of the land. It's a shtigl of a chutzpah. It's a chutzpah. You're right, you want to show it's your land, but if you want to show it's your land, I'm just telling you, I know some people are getting upset with me now, but I just want to tell you this idea. If you want to show it's your land, good. It's very noble, but don't do a half a job. Don't just show it's your land and then run away to America and hide behind your backyard. You got to go all the way.
We can encourage them.
What? Exactly.
Encourage them and let them know we have their back.
Very good, right. You could encourage them. It's a halachic issue. There are gedolim on both sides of the issue. In the Haredi world is very against it for many, many reasons. There are not all Haredi, there are some that are for it. And then there's a very large segment of gedolim which are for it. It's not our business. If you want to participate in the issue, you got to be part of it. You have to really go all the way. Don't provoke the Arabs and run away and hide yourself behind in Flatbush. That's not right. You want to do it, but live there. Live there. And don't go and tell people, if you're living in America, don't get mishacharein in what goes on over there. It's not for you. They are gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. They make the decisions there. They live there. They're meiser nefesh. Don't express your opinion on this matter when you're living in Chutz
Liaretz. Don't express your opinion?
Yes. It's not for you to get involved if you don't actually live there. I told you you're going to get upset, okay? I told you you're going to get upset about this. But this really appeals to me. This, what? Okay, I told you, it's an idea. There's something to it. People who are living in Eretz Yisrael, are Meiser Nefesh. They're Meiser Nefesh. They're Meiser Nefesh. It's a very dangerous country. It's a very dangerous. You're surrounded by enemies. It's very dangerous. If you're Meiser Nefesh, so you have a right to participate in the debate of Har Habayis, serving in the army. If you're sitting in America, what's your business to open up your mouth and dictate policy? What should be in Eretz Yisrael?
There's a difference between dictating and expressing.
Okay, all right. So maybe my vocabulary is very poor. Okay, but this is an idea, just on a very rough end. So there's a very big nafkamina. You talk about the Har Habayis, the retaining wall for the Har Habayis. But it's the Har Habayis. It is the Har Habayis. And if it's the Har Habayis, there's Kedusha. This kedusha. That's why it's problem. That's why you have to take it very seriously. That's why some gedolim do not put their hands. You always see Trump. You always see when Trump he went to the Kotel. What did he do? He didn't put his hands on the wall. I found it very interesting. There was this one part of the Kaisel, it's a big opening. He put his hand into that big, massive opening. So many Gedolim would not do that because they hold that the Kiddush of the Har Habayis is from the thickness.
No, of course not.
Maybe the Dafka told him. Who knows? What difference does it make? Putting a kvittel. Some people don't want to put a kvittel because you're putting a kvittel, you're putting your hand, you're putting your hand inside the thickness of the wall. Some hold the kedusha of Har Habayis starts from the edge, the outer edge of the wall. Therefore, if you put your hands in a crack, within the thickness of the wall, you have already entered into the area of the Har Habayis. And if you are of those people who will not walk on the Har Habayis because you're afraid of the Kiddush of the Har Habayis, then you should not be putting your hands in the cracks. Other poskim can disagree. The Kiddush of the Har Habayis begins within, does not include the thickness of the wall itself. Okay, so there are so many different opinions. Obviously, 99% of Klal Yisrael do not hold that the Kedusha of the Har Habayis begins in the cracks. It begins from within. And that's why no one seems to have a problem putting their hands on the wall, putting their hands in the cracks, putting in kvitloch, because we don't hold that the Kedusha of the Har Habayis begins on the outside. The Kedusha begins on the inside. So there's no issue touching anywhere on the outside or putting your hands inside. Okay, let's go now, sir.
I thought the issue was going in the actual place where the Tzara was.
The Azar, right. That for certainly is awesome. There's not going to find any Orthodox rabbi that's going to allow you to go in the place where the Azar is, because that's Machane Shekhinah.
So what are they worried about with the wall for?
It wasn't there. That's exactly the point. So I told you, one issue, actually one of the many issues is Ziva. We just finished discussing. Ziva, if a person is a Zav, he's not allowed to be on the Har Habayis. What is Ziva? Ziva is two bodily emissions of substance, which is very, very similar to Shechva Zera, 2 days in a row. 2 days, or even two times in one day. So today, is there anyone that can say that any adult, maybe a child would be different, maybe someone who's a child, maybe they would be allowed to go on Har Habayis. But can an adult say for sure that he's not a Zav? So I think if Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says there's no such thing, there's no adult that can say with certainty that he is not a Zav. Because we don't even know what Ziva is. It's almost the same thing as Shechva Zera, maybe, and therefore, in order to cleanse yourself from Ziva, you need Zayin Nikiyim, and you then have to be toivel in a Mayon, in a fountain, not in a mikvah, in a special Mayon. And I mean, you don't need Stam Akev Kurbanos, and that doesn't make a difference. You can still go on the Har Habayis without the Kurbanos. So that's one of the multiple reasons why there are those who object to even going on the Har Habayis. But if you don't consider that to be an issue, then in Echanami, then going on the Har Habayis is much less of an issue. The other issues are: do we really know where the Azara was? No one can know for sure. Maybe the Azara really was very, very close to the Kaisel HaMaravi. So don't go in that area. Don't go along the Kaisel HaMaravi. Just go stay more to the north. The north part of the Har Habayis is where they take you. Some of them, they go there, it's very safe. Seemingly, it's a very safe place to go. You stay there, you walk there, you can dive with it. They don't like diving, but you go over there, L'chora, L'chol HaDeis, you're not really coming anywhere near the Azara. You want to go on the west and on the south? So they say it's also not. I mean, they don't know for sure, but it's pretty safe
they
to go.
They found the wall by the Azara that they found in three languages was written.
Don't enter. Yeah. So that's the Chel. So that's right before the Azara. That's right before they found the Chel. So then you know where it is. Okay, but everything is all still. You know, okay, then there are Hashkafic issues. Hashkaf is the issues where, you know, just it's holy, it's not halacha, it's just a sense of moira mikdash. Torah says, mikdash shi tiro, you shall be afraid of my mikdash. So there's a hashkafic issue. What are you going there? What are you playing games? You should have a sense of moira. If you're really afraid of something, even though it's technically permissible, you should stay away. Listen, everyone has a different opinion on this, so this is not for now. I just over the point of view, thing over here with the Harabayas. You mentioned over here, it's a retaining wall, it's a retaining wall, but it does definitely have Kedusha. Let's go for a little bit of Radak Radak. I didn't really want to get bogged down. Let's go for Radak Pasuk Beis, Bemaros, Radak Pasuk Beis. Did I finish Rashi? Yeah, we did Rashi. That's Radak Pasuk Beis, Bemaros, Alhar Gavoy Ma'od, Zel Harabayas, Ve'erolo Gavoy Ma'od, Ki Keni Yel, Bemalo Gavoy Ma'od, Venisa Kemosha Kasa. Because in the future, it's going to be very, very high. Nochonia Har Beis Hashem will be established. Will be lifted up above the mountains, above the hills. The Gambi Atzmo Hu Gavoya Lifi Mekoymoi. Even the way it is right now, it's higher than right now. Ki Eretz Yisrael Gavoya Mikola Aratzos. Eretz Yisrael is the highest land in the world. Yerushalayim Gavoya Mikol Eretz Yisrael. And Yerushalayim is the highest section of Eretz Yisrael. What does this mean? No one knows, because Mount Everest is certainly higher than Eretz Yisrael. And the Yerushalayim does not appear to be the highest place in Eretz Yisrael. This is very mysterious. What does this Chazal mean? Does it mean literally? Does it mean figuratively? We do not know. Next, there's a city on the southern side, Perush Olav B'samuch. The word Olav does not mean literally. Above means nearby. Kimo V'Olav Mati Menashe. Near was Mati Menashe. Kibes Hamikdash Yabani B'ha B'har K'moshayi V'ha Yir Yerushalayim B'samuch Olav B'negev V'eru Olav B'nyin Abayis B'lohas L'kimo Sheru Churbano L'nachim B'devu Azu Beis Yishlash Ergalu. The Radak says some powerful words. The reason why Hashem is showing him this Mara, this is Nechama. Just as he witnessed the Churban, so too he's now going to witness the Geula, witness the rebuilding. So this is a form of comfort. Ki lo tova tikva sam, all hope is not lost. Ve'od yashuvu el haretz, the day will come when they will return. The Yeshu bo lovetach, with security, binyan abayis yeh yoyseh mimashayi b'tchila, and the future bias will be even greater than it was in the past. Kimivne shame samuch b'shekel mikne vinyone binyan. This means a structure. Hero kamo ir benuya o shayu b'nei ma'isa uvibinyan habayis hero echayu b'nei ma'isa. Hashem is showing how they built it. Vehero lo ha'ir shayu emel ala b'nei u'moyd ha'irach v'arechav ech yivnu. So the Merdak over here.
How they were in the process of building.
The process. So that's a very interesting idea, because that's not what a lot of Mepharshim say. They seem to disagree. They see over here that there was a finished product. Beis HaMikdash came down out of heaven. Prefabricated. It came straight down out of heaven. There was nothing for us to do. And the Ish that it's going to say in the past, according to many commentators, is the Malach. It refers to the construction that was taking place in heaven. It's not referring to any construction that took place here down on earth. The Radak does not say that. He does not say it was a malach. He seems to say it was an ordinary mortal that was building the Beis HaMikdash. So how do we reconcile these different ideas? So Chazal say it all depends on our zechus. If we are on an exalted spiritual level, we will merit that the Bayis Shlishi will come straight down out of heaven. Miracles. If we're not on that exalted level, we're on a lower level, then it may be that we will need to build it ourselves. We will need to be the architect and the contractors and the plumbers and the electricians to put up the Bayis Shlishi. This is very similar to what happened in the time of Bayis Sheni. Chazal said in the time of Bayis Sheni, it was really meant to be, there should be greater miracles that happened to Klal Yisrael when they left Bavel and came to Eretz Yisrael than the miracles that occurred at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. But it didn't happen. There were no miracles. It was all derech teva. It was all natural. It was all no miracles. They came. They got on their horse and buggy, and they came to Eretz Yisrael, and they had to work very, very hard, and had to do a lot of negotiations with the people in the land in order to get permission, to get permits to build the Beis HaMikdash. And it was a very slow, long process. Why? Because they were not on the exalted spiritual level that Hashem hoped they would be. They did not merit the miracles. It had to be done al derech hateva. So here you see over here in the Mepharshim, when it says over here that we're going to discuss the construction, is this a construction that's going to be done by us? Or is this something that we're describing was taking place in the spiritual world in Shemayim, and the entire Beis HaMikdash is coming to be deposited here down on earth in one shot? Okay, next word. Now, there's another idea I saw in the Medrash. The Medrash here says, Vayinicheni. Now, notice this Mara is very different than the Merkava. In the Merkava, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Yechezkel with violence. Hashem grabbed him by the Tzitzis Roshi, by his peis, and Hashem took him from Babel, dragged him all the way to Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem showed him the Shechina, the Merkava, depart. leave the Beis HaMikdash, and there's a lot of emphasis that he was, Yechezkel was terrified. He was overcome with a very powerful degree of horror and terror witnessing this that event. Here, the Mefarshim point out the word Vayinicheni is unique to this Nevuah. It was done gently. This vision, Yechezkel was relaxed. He was not in a state of horror. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is revealing to him the Bayis Shlishi and the Geula HaSida, his frame of mind is also entirely different. Everything is fine, relaxed, pleasant. It also enhances the vision of what's going to happen La'asalava. Pasuk Gimel is Vayavei Oisi Shama Hashem brought me there V'hinei Ish. There was a man. Mareyu Kimarei Nechoshes. He looked like copper. Okay? Nechoshes. Now if you learn this a Malach, it makes all the more sense. Ufisil Pishtim Biyado. He had in his hand, he had linen. Linen made into a long measuring rope. Ukene Hamid, and he had a second utensil. He had a measuring rod. Fu Oimed Bashar, and he stood by the gate. We're going to measure all of the gates. Now let's see over here, Pasuk Gimel, the Mitzudos, Pasuk Gimel. Vayavei Oisi, Vitzin Eloi Malka, Asher Hevi Oisi, Shomar Oisi, Vihine Ish. Who is the Ish? According to the Mitzudos, is a Malach. Malach Hadoi Rabbi, Shal Yamareu Kamari Nochayches. He looked like copper, he glowed, he glittered. Kvidvar hazoya v'hirus u'chein shama b'sham b'chayos v'noitetzim b'kein nechayos kolom, that they glittered, the chayos, they glittered like pure, refined copper. U'pesil pishtin b'yado limdoid boy medidas habinyan, and he used linen cords to make the measurements. U'kenei hamida, in addition to the linen tape measure, he also had a piece of, he had a rod, a measuring rod, a stick. So he writes over here in the Mitzudos, V'chutshach gam l'psil l'mdoid al yodai mida meruba, ki b'kane yesh tarach l'rav l'mdoid mida meruba. Why are there two different measuring utensils? So the answer is one is for short distances and one is for long distances. For the short distance, you use a measuring stick. And for the long distances, you use cord. You use rope. If you're going to use a measuring stick, you have to keep on going back and forth. After every stick, after every foot, you have to make a mark and then mark again. Even though this was all in the vision, even though this was all in the vision, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him in the Nevuah things that occurred in human terms to get a sense of what's going on. He learns that he used repetition. He used the large measure and then they repeated with the small measure.
No, he didn't repeat it with the small measure. He measured the
small
rope.
Things.
No, he measured the rope.
Yeah.
With the measure.
With the small measure. He measured the rope with the small measure. That's what
once
it means. Okay. The long measure, then he moved the small measure. The gamida pechusa mimloy hakane, and also small measurements yikshel l'shar. It's hard for the gate ulutzam same imakane. The loykein bepsil ki evshel l'kaflo ki ritzonu l'sha'er ulutzam same lefimidas hakane. When you get into cracks and small areas where you can't get the stick in, right? You have to go measure a certain very small area, a certain angle. You can't, the stick is this big, you can't get the stick into properly measure. So in those instances, the rope is very precise. So it turns out, rope is used for very large areas and for very small areas. And the stick is used for, in the middle, medium areas. Goldilocks, not too small, not too big, right smack in the middle. You have to, the rope is the two extremes and the mokone is something in the middle. Okay, next. This malach in the gate shall chaymas har habayis. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk gimel says kamari nechosh kein ziv hachayos, like the glitter of the chayos. The neitzitzim they glitter kein nechosh kolo upsil pishtim biyadoy lemedidas karga ein dover yafa mechevel pishtim. Rashi quotes Chazal when it comes to measure karka, the earth. The ideal thing to use is linen. Linen comes from the earth. Interesting is that when you want to measure something, you use a product of what you want to measure. sheep wool does not come from the earth. Wool comes from an animal. So if you're measuring earth location, better take a product of the earth to measure itself than to take something that's foreign to the earth to measure it. Ukne hamida, lamoid boyes oive hachaimo. Why does he need the stick? So Rashi says it's to measure the thickness of the walls, the oirech v'retach hashama, and the length and the height of the gates. The walls and the gates, that's what the stick is for. And the cord is for the earth, for long distances on the earth. Okay, Radak, Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel, Vayavi Oysa Hashem Avinei Ish, Mareyu Kimari Nechoshes, Ki Ilu Omar Malach Min Hashmash. He goes back as a Malach. Moideid Habinyin. The Malach Rahu Hanavi Bidmus Ish. The Navi Yechesel saw the Malach in the image of a man, of a human being. Kimo Shenemar B'Yoshua, Hine Ish Oymei Linegdoi. By Avraham as well. V'hine Shiloisha Anoshim. Chumash Amar Kimari Nechoyches. Chumash Amar B'mar Asher B'tchilis HaSefer. V'noitzitzim K'ein Nechoyches Kolol V'machayos. They glittered. U'Nechoyches Shem Mishutuf Nechashti V'ayvarachin Hashem B'glolech. What's Nechoyches? Nechoyches means I divined. And Hashem, it's a word which is Mishutuf. I don't know what he means by this. It's a borrowed expression. Nechashti, I divined. I did something supernatural. Lavan said to Yaakov, and my experiments, my supernatural experiments, have told me that it's only because of you I have been blessed. So maybe over here he wants it in the Nechashti, in addition to it meaning in its Mishutof, means it's a partner. There are multiple meanings in the word Nechashti. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, it means to glitter, it glistens. And mitzad sheni, it represents something supernatural, something that does not relate to this world. Just like Lavan, he employed some type of magic, some type of koyches of tumah, supernatural koyach to understand something, to understand the secrets of this world. Likewise, the nechoshes, what this creature looked like, it was not earthly, it was not from this world, it was extraterrestrial. It was something from a different world. It's a word mishutof. I think what he means, mishutof, means it's a word that has multiple meanings. Psil pishtin biyado, limdoi, to measure, k'nei hamida, kein gam kein biyado, limdoi, ela shebeshebe, chevel, moidad oda mida meruba, bakarko, v'k'nei hamida, moidad oda mida muetes, k'mo mida sabinin v'zulasai. So you use this rope for large measures, and you use the rope, the stick, for small measures. V'hu oimid b'shar, ra oiso oimid b'shar, ba'is, v'yoda chevel, al-kod limdoi. And he's using it to make measures. So we have a whole collection of interpretations of what is the significance of the two different types of measuring utensils. You have the rope and you have the stick for low, for earth, for the walls, or is it for very long distances and very short distances? And the chevel is the rope. The kana is for in the middle. Different. Both of these things are necessary. What is interesting is that he's not using wool. Who is the first one to invent wool, to deal with wool? Cain. Cain was a shepherd, and the shepherd produces wool. Hevel was a farmer, and he produced flax. And they both brought sacrifices to Hashem. Cain brought the sheep as a sacrifice, which includes the wool, because the wool is going to be burnt on them. He brought a sheep, which produces wool. And Hevel, he brought a product of the earth. He brought the Hevel Hevi Gamu Mibuchoro
Sono Mechelbehe.
So what was the other way around? Cain brought
the flax.
The other way around. Cain brought
the sheep.
The sheep, right?
The flax, yeah.
No. The wool, flax. The sheep. Cain.
Hevel brought the sheep.
Okay, so let's go back. Right. So once we get to. Okay. Vayimikets yamin bayavei kain mipriha adama. Right. So Cain brought from the earth. The hevel hevi gamhu mibuchoyroi sanoi mumichel vehen. Vayisha Hashem el hevel v'yel min chosoi. Hashem accepted the sheep. Hashem accepted the wool. V'yel kain v'yel min chosoi loisha. Hashem did not accept Cain's Cain's offering, which was from the product of the earth. So what happened? Cain killed Hevel, and this, the Medrash says, is the reason why we have this week's parasha, Shatnes. Silva Shatnes, Semu Pishtim Yachtav, because it goes back to Maisa Bereshis, it goes back to the first division between two brothers, to the jealousy of the two brothers starred over wool and linen. Wool and linen, a sheep which produces wool versus the earth which produces linen. They did not get along, and one killed the other, and that was a very great tragedy. Many things happened from that, came from that, and therefore Hashem says, don't remind me, don't wear wool and linen. The only place where you can wear wool and linen together is tzitzis, because tzitzis represents, it represents tikkun. It represents reconciliation. What?
And Big Day Kahuna.
Big Day Kahuna and tzitzis, that represents when you mekayim the mitzvahs, that represents reconciliation, represents tikkun. That's what it says in the Medrash. It's interesting that when it comes to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the measurements are being done with linen. It's being done, Kayin, whose offering was rejected, now is being accepted. Not only is it accepted, it's being accepted in the most significant way, because the entire structure of this edifice, which will serve to offer sacrifice to Hashem, is being laid out with linen. It's the ultimate tikkun. When the world began, and Kayin brought linen, or that's what the Medrash says, as a sacrifice to Hashem, Hashem rejected it. Hashem now, when we're building the Bayis Shalishi, which is going to be the place where every carbon in the world is going to be offered forever, the ultimate sacrifices, ki beisi beis tefila l'chol ha'amim, the details, the construction, is all being done with linen. So it represents the ultimate tikkun for Kayin's, the ultimate tikkun for this, that what Hashem rejected from Kayin. I think it's a very powerful idea to appreciate that, how you know, everything depends upon, you know, the original blueprints. You know, if you're off by half a centimeter in construction, that's it. The whole building's going to come down. Okay, if you're building a structure that's going to be 100 stories tall, you go build a Freedom Tower, and the foundation is just a teeny little bit crooked. Just a little bit. You know, the foundation is just a mashu, it's off by half a centimeter. Okay, maybe the first five stories is not going to make much of a difference. But once you get to the 20th floor, it's now the Tower of Pisa. Right? And you get to the 100th floor, it's already a sakana, because it's not level. Teeny, teeny little imperfections in the very, very bottom have a major, major ramification when you get all the way to the very top. You're building here the Beis HaMikdash. The spirituality of the world depends upon this. And what is your measuring utensils? You know, it's a big, big, big business to have the proper measuring utensils, the precision, linen. What's the Beis HaMikdash? Korbanos. What's it all depend on? Linen. Linen is something that Hashem rejected. Vayisha Hashem el hevel yelven chasai. But v'yel kain v'yel min chasoy lo sho'o. Hashem did not pay attention. V'yichal l'kain me'oid. V'yich l'panav. And now look what's happening. We're going now to the end of days. And not only is Hashem taking into consideration the linen, the whole Beis HaMikdash is built upon the foundation of linen. Haloi dva, haloi davar, it's a pillar, what's happening over here. Everything has its time and place.
In the Egel Arufa, what did they use to
measure? Doesn't say.
I think it's rope, though.
Rope. What kind of rope? Wool.
I don't know.
Linen is not good rope. Linen is not very strong. Linen is the shvach. You would probably use wool. Wool is much stronger. And that's the point, is medafka linen. Okay, now there's another idea I want to point out, and that is Chazal. What?
I'm looking for strength. I'm looking for accuracy.
Accuracy, yeah. But everything, look, rope is rope.
It's not like, no, it's stretchable. It depends on the temperature. You know,
that's why, in fact, they say they can't more than 50 amos. When they came to Egel Arufa,
right,
so the rope cannot be more than 50 amos because it would stretch, or sag, right, is a length. Okay, but again, it's a fun. It's a point. What kind of material? But here, you cannot ignore the fact.
By the rope.
It's not shatnez. That was just to bring out the point, linen and wool, to show that it was linen. That's what I'm trying to, because it doesn't say it's linen in the pasuk. I need that chazal in order to show, to tie the two ends together with this rope. pun intended, right? But it says in the Chazal there was an argument between Kayin and Hevel, and Kayin represented linen, Hevel represented wool, and Hashem rejected Kayin. Here Hashem is now restoring Kayin's offering to such a degree where the entire foundation of the Beis HaMikdash is built on linen. Haloi Dovar. Okay, that's one idea. Another Chazal. Chazal say in Yerushalmi Masechta Erevin, I'm sure you'll learn Yerushalmi today. Everyone learns everything today, right? So Yerushalmi, it says, Amar Rabbi Yoshua, Ein lecha mida shel emes, miduyakes ela shel shela shel barzel. If you want to measure, the best way to measure, to make measurements, is to use iron, chains of iron. That would be the ideal way to measure. To measure distance, avol me'esa. So the question is, emes. Chosamay shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu is emes. So Hashem really, we should ideally use barzel to measure the distance. The distance of the Beis Hamikdash, the Bayis Shlishi. Avol me'esa. Sivut says b'nevim shemodedu bechavolim shel pishton. Shenemar psil pishton biyodav konamida. Period. The Yerushalmi basically says, what could we do, Chaval? If it was up to us, we would measure with barzel. That's what we would do. But, no, Chaval, the Torah says to use linen, so we have no choice, we have to use it. I just wanted to bring out the point that the linen over here is something that's very, it's not an accident. Oh, it happened to be linen. It's not the ideal thing to do. The ideal thing would have really been to use shalshela shel barzel. Now, once...
What time is it going to be over?
About 11:30 round. I don't know what time we finish. 11:45. 11:40.
Yeah.
Not a second after. Not a second before. No,
I'm
gonna
be here. 11:40. Okay. Okay. And then okay. To take him
okay.
Downstairs.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right. Now this touches upon where else we find in Chazal. Finding Chazal shal sheles shel barzel. Anyone remember this Chazal? Yaakov Avinu. Chazal say when Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, the plan A in Hashem's playbook, Maase Bereishis, built into the DNA of this world, it was meant to be Yaakov Avinu would have been taken down to Mitzrayim to fulfill Vavodim Vavodum the Inu Yosam Ar Meyashana Bishal Shele Shel Barzel. That was the original plan A. But Hashem had Rachmanis on Yaakov Avinu, and he took down Yaakov Avinu in Egla Rufa, chariots, right? Royal chariots. Vayares Hagolos Asher Sholach Yosef. Can you imagine the Mamish Mikotzel Kotze? It should have been Barzel. And look at the blessing Hashem. He took him down to Golos in the most luxurious possible mode of transportation that existed in that time of the world.
Although Yosef took care of that because he was brought down by force.
But he was when he was brought down as a slave. He was also there was spices. It was pleasant.
That was a long way older.
No, but that appeared.
He was brought down by force.
By force. But Yaakov was also being brought down by force.
No, it's not the same.
Not the same type of force. But he's going down. He doesn't want to go down to Golos. He had to go.
He was motivated to go.
Okay, it's true. He was motivated to go, but still they're both going down. And Yosef all should have gone down. And Chazal said, what are Arabs? What are these people, these nomads? What do they keep with them? Things that stink. Things that have repugnant odors. Whatever they carry. It was a miracle that they happened to be the exception. One in a million. They happen to have a caravan of spices, pleasant aroma to give Yaakov Yosef a pleasant trip down to Mitzrayim. Halay davar, that was a sign, that was an indication that imoy anoichi b'tzara, I am with you in this moment of tzara. The same way you apply that to Yosef, the fact that Yaakov went down not b'shal shelah shel barzel, he went down in chariots. Was an indication that Imo Yenochi Bitzar. But what do we take out of this Chazal? Shal Shele Shel Barzel is a code word for Golos. Mitzrayim is the prototype of the Dalet Malchios, right? Kor
HaBarzel.
The Kor HaBarzel. It's the prototype of all the Dalet Golos. The Malchus of Golos is the Yerida to Mitzrayim. The Yerida to Mitzrayim is should have been the essence of Yerida is Shal Shele Shel Barzel. The Ribayin Yishlelem is now describing the ultimate Geula, the Geula Sanefesh, the Mokam of the Hashua Sashchina, to connect the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate Geula taken of this world. And we have to make measurements. What measurements? What's the tool to make measurements? Barzel. Shal Shele Shel Barzel. Hashem's, I'm going to use Shal Shele Shel Barzel. Shal Shele Shel Barzel is a symbol of Golos. Even though Ein Lecha Mida Yofeh, there's no greater Mida Yofeh, there's no living more precise in measurements. That's what it says in Yishalmi. Look at the words. Ein Lecha Mida Shel Emes. Emes, that's the words of the Yishalmi. Perfection. Ela Shal Shele Shel Barzel, which indicates that using linen is not precise. It's not as precise. There are some minor imperfections. I always wonder in the Olympics how they do when they race. How in the world are they able to get down to the hundredth of a second? This guy finished, even the thousandth of a second. This guy finished, they watch the guy and they tell you instantly, he finished the swimming. This, unbelievable. They have such precise measurements. They can able in time, they can go down, they can tell you that this guy finished before this other guy by a hundredth of a second? Mamish Mishun, even more probably than by now a thousandth of a second when he touched the finish line. So go back into ancient times, you want that type of precision, you're not going to get it with linen. You're not going to get it. You're going to get it with Barzel. Okay, the standards of the time. So don't you think now when you're coming to build a Bayis Shlisha, you're only going to want the best? You want the best of the best. You're not going to be cheap on anything. Hashem says, you know what? Better be off a little bit than use an object which is Mesamel Golos. Because this is it's the antithesis. Geula cannot be built on a foundation of Golos. The Beis HaMikdash, which is Geula, you can't build it on a foundation of Golos. Golos is gone. Golos has to be, there's what to learn from Golos, of course. No, but the tzur of the bias cannot have a defect of Golos within it, because that weakens the foundation. That means that this bias, the whole structure was built on Shal Shele Shel Barzel, which is a symbol of Golos. So therefore we have to compromise on accuracy and use the second best type of measuring instrument, which is Pishtin. Yeah. Okay. That's another idea. Now, along that idea, I just want to go back to something I forgot to mention yesterday. This is a good, okay, this idea, before we go further, on Golis, a very important idea, and that is, I have to read you this message. It's a beautiful message. It really goes back to what we learned yesterday, and it ties to what we just said right now, the date. Yesterday, we spent an entire day going over Pasuk Aleph, describing the date of this vision. The vision, the date is extremely important, because in this date, it represents the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let me, here it goes. Yesterday, this was in the Sifrei, in Parashas Behaloscha, Tes Aleph, section Tes Ois Aleph. Yesterday would be Arba Eshrei L'shon Achrash Hukis Sochu'ir, 14 years after the Churban. 14 years, this event, this vision took place 14 years after the Churban. V'lamo ha'yumayinim l'Churban abayis. Why? Ella. So he says as follows. B'tchila, it used to be in the olden days when you went to a wedding and they wanted to calculate what is the date. Today is Yud, what's the day? Is Yud Elul? Yud Elul?
Yes.
Okay, which year? Which year are we in today? Tavshin, Ayin Zayin, Leprat Katon, and 5,000 Leprat Gadol. Hayumaynim Le'om Liyitzias Mitzrayim. This, what we do today is a new thing. It used to be when you made a calculation, you counted from the year of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Who cares when the world started? That's not our problem. When we count dates, we count from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. How many years has it been from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Whatever it is, 3,000 years, and whatever it is, it's Yud Elul, in the year 3,460, from the time that we left Mitzrayim. Bohu la'aretz, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, there was a new calendar. They no longer counted from the time of Yitzias, and it was a much more significant event in world history from the time they came to Eretz Yisrael. Bohu la'aretz l'moinim l'biyosam, from the time they came into Eretz Yisrael. Nivne habayis, when they built the Beis HaMikdash, hischilu l'moinim l'binyonai, they began making the calculations and all of their documents from the time of the binyan, the building of the building of the Bayis Rishon. Chorav Habayis, Hischilu Moinim L'Churbanoi Shnemar B'Arba Esrei Shona Achar Shehukis Soho Yer. So this positive teaches you a very fascinating concept, is that we're always changing our calculation, our dates, our calendar date, based upon the most significant event in our in world history. At first, the most significant event in world history was Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Jewish history.
The next most significant event in Jewish history was the coming into Eretz Yisrael. The next most significant event in Jewish history was the Bayis, building of the Bayis Rishon. The next most significant event in Jewish history was the Churban HaBayis. So that's why it tells over here that when we make the calculation from the time of the building, the Churban, the 14 years from the Churban.
We were not a nation until
Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, but the interesting thing is when you make a date, the date all depends upon the most significant event in Jewish history. Now, what happened when they built the Bayis Sheni? So I'm imagining, it's Takachu. When they built the Bayis Sheni, they started calculating dates and weddings from the time of the rebuilding of the Bayis Sheni. That was then, that became the most significant thing. What happened when the Churban Bayis, the Churban Bayis Sheni, so it's a fact, they went back to calculating the dates based upon the Churban of the Bayis Sheni. How did it come about today that we calculate Tav Shin Ayin Zayin? It's a mystery. It's a new thing. This is a modern innovation that today when we date our documents, all documents, Gitin, Kiddushin, Shtarois, you name it, it's
well,
all...
It could be that we don't know to measure the exact dates.
Of what? Of the Churban... That could be. But do we know when the world was created?
We know for sure from Bayis Sheni quicker because there were 300 years lost.
So there were years that were lost. Rav Shimon Schwab, he wrote a whole article, he wrote a fascinating article about the missing years, his entire book. There's a book, a fantastic book, that someone put out about 2 years ago. I didn't buy it. I saw it in the bookstore. Actually, I came across it recently. I have it. That I don't know what it is. It's a really, really, it goes through in very great detail and an analysis of what happened in the missing years. We have to do that one day. We have to spend some time with that. That would be a very good topic to spend time on, is to go through the Jewish history. There are missing years. It is clear as day. Something has gone wrong. Our calculation of time is off. There's something mysteriously wrong with the calendar. Rav Shimon Schwab, he had a fantastic approach to this, to the missing years, and B'Soif Yamav, he retracted it. He retracted it. The idea was printed in the Jewish Observer, made a big splash. It created a lot of controversy, a lot of questioning. A lot of people began to delve in and study this matter, and they challenged him on certain points, and at the end, he retracted. He retracted his chidushim, and it's very, very fascinating. Okay, so maybe that's why what you're saying is very good. Maybe that's the reason why, since there's so much confusion as to exactly calculate what happened from the time of the Bayis Sheni until where we are right now, so we don't actually do this technique of count, the Churban of the Bayis Sheni. It's an amazing medrash. It's teaching you the correct way to make a calculation in the calendar is to focus on the most significant event in Jewish history. For us, that would be the Churban Bayis Sheni following this pattern. And what do? We do something which is extremely bizarre. We count from creation. World was created 5,777 years ago. Okay, and therefore we only refer to the last 777, which is the Prat Katoin, and the Prat Gadol is 5,000. Problem with that is, who says we even know we're at, even that is correct? Okay, that's why we include the words.
Example, what that, Rashi count us?
What?
Do we know what Rashi or Rambam?
Well, in the Kinois, it's very interesting. The Kinois, when they talk about Tatnu, the first crusade, they talk about cycles, another technique of counting, cycles every 28 years. Every 28 years, there is a Kiddush Hachama. So, what's it called? Birchas Hachama. Birchas Hachama, every 19 years is the cycle when the sun and the moon are realigned. So you have a calculation of 28 years for the sun, and there's another calculation called 19 years. Mm-hmm. So in the Kinois, when it talks about the date of Tatnu, of what we call 1096, in secular year, and in the Jewish calendar, it's from Bris Olam, it's in the Prat Koton, it's 4,000. Tatnu, 856. 856. 4,856. But that's not the way it says it in the Kina. The one who wrote the Kina, there's another calculation of how many cycles of 28 were there. And then there are cycles of Yovel. So this always has been a very fascinating mystery, how exactly you calculate time. And the problem with what we do, Bizman Azeh, is we don't really know for sure how old the world is. We think that we know the world is 5,777. There's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. It could be that the world is really, even according to our calculation, that's 5,778. Right, exactly. So you're right. There's other issues. And even if you say 5,778, what exactly does that mean? How long was the year during the Maase Bereishis?
Yeah, okay,
was the year 1,000 years? Okay, so there are a lot of mysteries. And that is why in every document, it must be written, every legal document, Leminyin She'onu Moinin Kan. The number we acknowledge is not necessarily accurate. It's Leminyin, it's a convention. It's a man-made convention. It's 5,777 Leminyin She'onu Moinin Kan here in Brooklyn, New York. But maybe somewhere in Africa, they have a different way of calculating world history, so they have a different calculation, it's not a problem. Okay, but this is what it says here in the Medrash. Now, this is a very beautiful Medrash, teaches us about the calendar, but then there's another part to this Medrash, a different Medrash, running out of time, very quickly, is that we got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. We got a big problem. We certainly do. It's the other way around. They say, what do they say? They say now to the space, the international spacecraft, they say, Houston, you got a problem. Now we got a problem. Okay, so the issue over here is we know that when did we have a tradition? When did the Chorban take place? Chorban took place in the year after Yovel. In the year after Yovel, the Motzoi Shvius, as a famous Chazal, in the year after Yovel, Kishachar Abayis Barishayna Oisa Hayam Tisha Be'av Haisa Umotzoi Shabbos Haya. It was the year after Shavuos. Now we learned that it was the 36th year. That was the calculation. I'm not going to go with the calculation now because it's too complicated. But Barishoina, Barimotsoi Shavuos, the Maharsh, what? You're telling me it was the first year of a new Shemitah cycle? But how could that possibly? But it says the pasuk that we just learned, the first pasuk of this parak. On the 25th day of Lugolos Seinu, Beroish Hashanah, Beso Yovel, Be'arba Esher Shana Achash Hukisohu Ir. It was 14 years. It was Yovel, and it was 14 years after the Chorban. Now wait a minute. If it's now Yovel, and it's now 14 years after the Chorban, how could it possibly be that the Chorban V'isal Kedaitoch Bechad B'Shavua Charuf? The Korban took place in the year after Shemitah, then Michad B'Shavua, Lechad B'Shavua, Tamnei, then it's not 14 years, it's 15 years. If the Korban Beis HaMikdash took place in the year after Shemitah, Michad B'Shavua, Lechad B'Shavua, from the year after Shemitah to the year after Shemitah is 8. When you go from like a Bris Milah, a baby is born on Monday, the Bris Milah is 8 days later on a Monday. So if you go from Bechad B'Shavua L'Chad B'Shavua, it's 8, and L'Chad B'Shavua Achrina Chomesh, and then when you go to the next Shemitah, it's going to be a grand total of 15 years. So the question over here is, V'im Timnach Achor L'Shemitah HaKodemes Harei Chamesh HaShon V'Yich Chama Yiches L'Bi Arba Esher Shon Nach HaShon K'Sochu Yir. If it's really true, okay, without going to all the calculations, the Gemara's question, Masechta Arochin, Masechta Daf Yud Beis, he makes the calculation, says something here does not make any sense.
Right.
Because without going through all the calculations, which is too complicated for my little brain, they were off by a year. How can it say over here that it was 14 years after the Churban, when we know for a fact the Churban took place in the year after Shemitah, and now this happens to be the Yovel? There's something wrong with the calculation. It should really be 15 years, to make a long story short. So the Gemara says an amazing answer, which touched upon what we've just finished learning with the Shashalosh Shel Barzel, and says, it's right, it was 15 years after the Churban. But you don't calculate from the Churban itself. You calculate the Churban happened, and then you start to count fresh. Year one is the year after the Churban. So it's a hybrid. Mitzad Echad, we date our documents from the Churban. But don't focus mamish on the Churban. Churban happened. The Churban is over. Let bygones be bygones. Don't live in the past. We're now going forward to rebuild. We're going to rebuild. So we calculate the Churban as year zero, and the first year of rebuilding is year one. So it's therefore, it's what?
Starts
all over again. So I don't have the calculation. I'll give you the calculation. This is a very powerful lesson. It's true. You have to remember the Churban. There's no question about it. And we have to calculate from the Churban, but don't dwell on it. Don't get too worked up. Don't go and make the actual calendar date that year one is the Churban. Because the Churban is not something you're supposed to focus on. It's something you're supposed to learn from, to reflect upon, to use it as a springboard to go higher and to develop. So remember it. It's the starting point, but it's not part of the actual calculation. The actual calculation begins the following year when we're in the process of rebuilding and recovering and going forward. And that ties in very well with the Shalshelet Shel Barzel. Shalshelet Shel Barzel really should have been the instrument used to make the measurements, but we're not going to use it because that's a symbol of Golos. And the symbol of Golos cannot be the foundation for the future, for the building of the Bayis Shlishi. We have to put that aside, and we have to go beyond that, and refresh ourselves and look forward in a positive attitude. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll stop over here, take a short break, we'll learn...